so salvation. Amen? Amen. We don't have to hope so or think so or maybe so, but we can know for certain when we do leave here, whenever that might be, heaven's our home. Amen. The thing we don't realize many times is that going home is imminent. Right. It can happen today. And so it behooves us to be ready. We're in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. One of the great verses in the Bible is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'm going to read it, then we'll talk about it. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know," there's that word, know. Not only do we know about salvation, but there are other things we can know about through the Word of God. Amen. One of those things we can know about is in this verse. "And we know that all things work together for good." Amen. "To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Amen. Now, I want to talk about that verse this morning. There's no way I can exhaust this verse this morning in the time we have, but hopefully we can give an introduction to it. I think of some other verses of Scripture. For example, Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Amen. And if you're saved this morning, God directs your path. That's a comforting thought. You know, a lot of times we think that events take place randomly. But they're not random for a Christian. They're not random for a child of God. I can recall, it was September 2015. And I was a power walker. I'd been out power walking that morning for about 2 hours. And I came home from power walking and felt just fine. Sat down and ate a bite of lunch and got up. And I began to feel a pain in my back. Now, I've never been sick, never been in a hospital. But this pain, I took a couple of ibuprofen for it. That's about all the medicine I ever took was ibuprofen. And I thought that would take care of it. Well, instead of it getting better, it got worse. So my wife said, "Well, why don't you go out and get in the pool? Maybe the water will massage your back and that'll take care of it." So I did. I went out and got in the pool. I was in the pool for a few minutes. And I finally came to the realization I wasn't getting out of the pool. So I tried to make it to the edge of the pool. And I did before I lost consciousness. Well, my wife was there, and she didn't know what to do because we didn't have any neighbors we knew or anything around. They were all gone. So she began to holler. Well, right behind our pool was a golf course. And on that golf course, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the 18th green was just on the other side of the pool there. And she began to holler, and these two men heard her holler, and they came rushing over. Well, it just turned out those two men were EMTs. And they began to examine and found out that I was in serious difficulty, called an ambulance. They took me to the trauma center at the hospital. They did a CAT scan and determined what the problem was. The problem was I had 3 aorta aneurysms, 3 of them. 2 of them were 9 centimeters in size. That's almost 10 inches. So they called a helicopter and took me to the hospital. They had a surgeon waiting there. As soon as I got there, he was waiting for me to get there. Rushed me right into the operating room. They had surgery. And they lost me twice. Brought me back. And the surgeon said, "You're fortunate to be here." He said, "The fact that you're here is about 10% me and 90% the Lord." Amen. So time went by, and my wife got on the phone and called these two EMTs. She wanted to thank them for their help. And so she said, I just want to thank you that you guys were there when we needed you. And they said, well, we weren't supposed to be there. We had a tea time at 8 o'clock in the morning. But he said, things just kept happening, and we couldn't get to the golf course. So he said, it wasn't just coincidence that we were on the 18th green when you needed us. Things don't happen to a child of God by accident.
Amen. That's right.
All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, steps means that's every event in your life. The steps refers to progress in life as you move through life. The steps of a good man, a saved man, in other words, are ordered or established by the Lord. In other words, he determines what they're going to be. I think of a lady in New York, her name was Mrs. Martin, and she had a friend who was going through some deep trials, and she met with her to try to encourage her. And in the course of encouraging her, she took her to Matthew chapter 10 and a passage of scripture that says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, for ye are of more value than many sparrows. In other words, God knows about us. He not only knows about us, he cares about us. And if he cares for the sparrow, will he not care for you and me? And so she went home after encouraging her friend and sat down and wrote a poem. And later that poem was put to music. It goes something like this. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion? Amen. My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, amen, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to know you have a Heavenly Father who cares about you,
amen,
and who watches over you, and nothing ever happens or comes in our life that he doesn't approve of? So we come to this verse, Matthew 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, let's talk about that. Things don't work. Somebody has to work those things.
Amen.
And you know who that someone is. Some folks think, well, you know, events come in our life randomly, and then God works it out so that those random events become positive events. No, that's not the way it works, and that's not what it means. It means that God determines the event.
Amen.
So that nothing ever happens that's bad. And if that's the case, why should we ever worry?
That's right.
Hmm?
Good.
Worry is the opposite of faith. Faith says all things work together for good to them that love God. Wait a minute now, preacher. You said to them that love God. It's qualified by them that love God. Who loves God? Those who are saved love God. The Bible tells us that over and over. We love him because he what? He first loved us. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." If you're saved, you love him. He's going to prepare a place for us, for those that love him. Amen. I go to prepare a place for you, he said. But how can I know I love God? 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Amen. That's the expression of our love for God. We keep his commandments. Well, what if I'm one of those folks who don't keep his commandments? Well, I'll let you decide that. But love is expressed by obedience to his commands. Right. Not because we love the command, but because we love him.
Amen.
Some folks say, well, you know, I agree with this, and I'm going to do this, but this command over here, I'm just not ready for that yet. That's not an expression of love for him.
Amen.
Expression of love for him says, I'm going to do it because he said it, whether I want to do it or not.
Amen.
That's love for him. So that verse says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I've heard the question asked, well, if I get saved, what do I have to give up? You ever heard that?
Yeah. Amen.
You know what you have to give up? Nothing. I gave up hangovers. Huh? I gave up auto accidents because I wasn't fully functional. I gave up difficulties in life that are brought on by my lifestyle.
Right.
For example, lung cancer, largely caused by smoking. I've never smoked cigarettes. And you know what? I haven't missed it.
Good for you.
Never had a drop of alcohol. Never.
None.
I haven't missed it. Don't need it.
Amen.
I found what I needed in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know why folks think they need alcohol? I'll tell you why they think they need it. They're not happy.
That's right.
They're looking for something to help them have a more enjoyable time.
Yep.
You find some folks that are trying to celebrate, you'll find there's liquor there. Can't celebrate without liquor. Well, we don't have any trouble with that. Amen?
Amen.
I had a chaplain when I was in the service. He was in the Army. He was the stockade chaplain at Fort Carson. And on Wednesday night, he was getting ready to leave the stockade, and he told the men he had incarcerated there that he was going to church. And they asked him, Wednesday night, and you're going to church? He said, yes, sir. And they said, why would you be going to church on Wednesday night? He said, because we have a good time there.
Amen.
And he said, not only do we have a good time there, but he said, we remember it the next morning.
That's right. Amen. Good point. Good point.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We are among those who love God. For them who are the called according to his purpose, not only do we love God, but we're also the called. If you're saved this morning, you have been called.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We were called. Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6 says, there's one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, we were called in one hope of our calling. God called us. By the way, God calls every man, but every man doesn't respond.
That's right.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Right.
Even to them that believe on his name. That's how you respond. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He calls on us, and if we'll call back to him in repentance and faith, he'll save us.
Amen.
First Thessalonians 2, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We were called. And we answered the call, if you're saved.
Amen.
If you're not saved this morning, you need to answer the call.
That's right. Amen.
You say, why do I need to answer the call? He may not call again.
That's true. Amen. That's right.
The Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Come now. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The devil would have us to believe, well, you know, I've got plenty of time. I can do it tomorrow. You don't know you have plenty of time. You don't know you have tomorrow. You don't know you have the rest of today, but you know you have now. Come now. God says it's urgent. Satan comes and says, there's no urgency. You've got plenty of time. Well, you're a young person. Young persons have no guarantees either. So we look at verse 28, and we know. What is it we know? That all things work together for good to them that love God. I think of an example in the Bible. It's a common example I'm sure you're familiar with. One of the sons of Jacob, named Joseph, was hated by his brethren. And they sold him into slavery down into Egypt. And they thought, well, that's the end of him. But what happened when Joseph got down into Egypt? Well, he ended up getting thrown into prison. You know, a lot of us would, if that happened to us, we'd say, well, you know, I've tried to live for God and look what it's got me. Now I'm in jail for it. And they'd be discouraged, but not Joseph. Amen. Joseph continued to live for the Lord and believe that God's word was true and that God would do exactly what he said he would. Amen. And so Joseph was faithful. And because Joseph was faithful, God brought him out of that dungeon. And he rose in power to where he was the second in command in all of Egypt. Think about that. Egypt was the most powerful nation on the face of this planet. And Joseph rose from a prisoner to second in command. Amen. Who put him there? God did. Well, there came a famine in the land. You remember the story? They had dreams, and he told them the dreams. They're going to have 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And the Pharaoh said, well, what do we do? And Joseph gave him a plan. And so because he knew what the dreams meant and how to thwart Satan's plan, he put Joseph in command. And people began to come from all over the world to Egypt to find food because they'd stockpiled food in Egypt in preparation for the famine. And among those who came were Joseph's brethren. And they came asking for food. They didn't know who Joseph was, but finally Joseph revealed himself to them. And he rehearsed the story, how they hated him and how they had sold him, even planned to kill him, but ended up selling him into slavery. And Joseph said to them, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good.
Amen.
We'll get rid of Joseph. Yeah, they got rid of him, all right. He saved them. He was their salvation. All things work together for what?
Good.
So when something comes in your life that you don't see as tasteful, remember this. God intends it for your good. Whether it be a physical problem, cancer, whatever it might be, God has a purpose in it, and he intends it for your good. If it's a financial reversal, God has a purpose in it and intends it for your good. Whatever comes, all things. Well, let's analyze that phrase, all things, because it's difficult to understand. What does those two words, all things, mean? Does that mean everything? That's exactly what it means. Even if I don't like it, God intends it for my good. And if God intends it for my good, how is it going to work out? For my good. What he intends, he accomplishes. Amen?
Amen.
If he didn't accomplish it, he'd be a failure.
Amen.
God never fails.
Right.
Aren't you glad we serve that kind of a God? Aren't you glad we have that kind of a God we can go to? Praise the Lord. You ought to want to take your shoes off and get up and stand up on the pew and praise the Lord. Amen. But we're Baptists. We're too sophisticated for that kind of thing. Huh? Oh, we'll go to the ball game and shout till we're hoarse, but we come to church and we can't open our mouths. There's something wrong with that picture.
Amen.
Listen, what we're talking about this morning is something to be excited about.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. That's right.
I don't need to worry. I have a God who's in control. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His. There's an important word right there at the end of that sentence. Purpose. God has a purpose in your life. We are here this morning because God has something for us to do. He's not through with us. What is that purpose? Well, we ran into it earlier in Romans chapter 8 in the word. You know what word I'm thinking of? Adoption. You remember that word? Adoption. Adoption is a term Paul introduced in his letters. No one else talks about adoption but Paul in his letters. And what is adoption? That's when a person takes a child who's not part of his family or not part of his lineage and makes him his child. That's what adoption is. And that's what God determined to do in eternity past, to take a group of people who were not his children and make them His children. That's adoption. And that's God's purpose. One term for it is adoption. There are other terms. For example, He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's another example that God had a purpose and a plan in the beginning, before creation ever took place. God had a plan and a purpose. So in verse 29 of Romans 8, we see this purpose verbalized in these two verses. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. God foreknew a people who would trust Him and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. God knows those who will, and God knows those who won't. Because, you see, God never learns anything. That's a hard concept for us to grasp, isn't it? That God never learns anything. He knows everything. He knows who's going to be saved and who isn't. Now, there are some people who believe that because that God causes some to be saved and others not to be saved. But that's not true. Just because you know it's going to happen doesn't make it happen. I know if I go over and flip the switch on the wall, it'll turn the lights off. But that doesn't make it happen. My knowing didn't make it happen.
Good example.
Knowing is not a cause. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestined. Now we're coming to cause. God established something to happen. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. To be like Jesus. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ have in their future to be just like Jesus. Why? Because God determined that's what would happen. Amen. And when God determines something's going to happen, guess what?
It happens.
Amen. Just like he says it will. Amen. When he says it will. So whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also what? Okay. He predestinated them to a certain image to be like Jesus, right? But before they can become like Jesus, they have to first be called. And then they have to what? Answer the call.
Amen.
And believe. So them he also called. Whom he called, them he also what? Justified. When you respond to the call, you become justified.
Amen.
That means your sins have been what? Forgiven. God determined all this in eternity past before the creation was ever accomplished. This was what he was going to do. And this is how he was going to do it. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, all those are in past tense. God accomplished them when? In eternity past. He determined these things to happen. Now, it says that them he also glorified. That hasn't happened yet. When will that happen? At the rapture.
Amen.
Then we receive glorified bodies like unto his glorious body. But he speaks of it in time past because he determined in eternity past this was what he was going to do. And if he determines that's what he's going to do, it's as good as done.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We have an expanded view of what we just read in verses 29 and 30, speaking of God's purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, past tense, this is already done, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
Before creation ever took place, he'd already done this.
Amen.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now get this. Language is important and words are important. He hath chosen us in him. It does not say he hath chosen us to be in him.
That's right. Amen.
It says he hath chosen us in him. In other words, what it's saying is he chose those who are in Christ.
Amen.
How does one get in Christ? By trusting him as Savior. So he's trusting, you put your trust in Christ, and when you do that, you become chosen. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's who we are to be, holy. Now, we're not there yet, are we? We're still in this stuff, the flesh. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He made us his child. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted by God in the Beloved. And who is the Beloved? That's Jesus. The next verse tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So the Beloved is Jesus, and through him we have redemption. Redemption is a synonym for the forgiveness of sins. We read that here, and we find it again in Colossians 1, verse 14, I believe. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath, there's that word again, purposed. God has a purpose for you and me. Amen. That's why we have hope. Amen? Amen? I know what my destiny is. He's told me in his word. I have a hope. And when I say hope, I'm not talking about the kind of hope the world has. I'm not talking about I hope I win the lottery this week. Well, I have no hope of winning the lottery this week because I don't have a ticket.
That's right.
And the reason I don't have a ticket is I don't buy them. But the word hope in the Bible isn't that kind of hope. The hope in the Bible is a surety of a future event based upon a promise. That's important. Based upon a promise. Faith comes first, then comes hope. In other words, if you have hope, you had to first have faith.
Right. Amen.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, there's that word again, according to the purpose. This is all according to God's purpose. Aren't you glad that God told us what his purpose is?
Amen.
We don't have to wonder. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated unto the purpose of him who worketh all things. There's that word. We ran into all things in Romans 8:28. Now it tells us there, he worketh all things.
Amen.
I said before, things don't work themselves. Somebody has to work them. Here's the one who works them. God does.
Amen.
Who worketh all things after the counsel of his will or his purpose, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you hear it, you respond to it. There's only two ways to respond to God's word. You either believe it or you don't. It's that simple. You know, we like to make it difficult and think, you know, if things aren't black and white, they're all shades of gray. That's the devil's lie.
That's right.
They're either black or white, they're either right or wrong. There's nothing in between. You either believe or you don't. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He came in you to live. That was the earnest, the down payment on God's purpose, completed or consummated. That's going to take place in the future. We talk about eschatology, study of what? Last things or the end of time or whatever you want to call it. But God's going to bring everything together. We're going to have new bodies.
Amen.
Resurrected bodies.
Praise God.
More accurately. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth ultimately. Things are going to be restored as they were before the fall. It's called redemption. The Lord bought back everything that was destroyed through sin. He's going to restore it like it was before sin came into the world.
That's right.
Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So there you have his purpose outlined in those verses. So God has a purpose and a plan for your life. All things work together for
good
to them that love God. Hallelujah.
Amen, Lord.
So you know what? If that's true, I say if that's true, I know it's true.
Amen.
Because it's in the Bible.
Right.
It's just as true as John 3:16 or any other verse in the Bible. And if all things work together for good to them that love God, I'm going to believe that.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let the devil cause me to worry.
Amen.
Worry brings defeat. But we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God. For this book.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.